do the intro.
I'm sleepy. No. I'm sleepy instead of drunk this time.
Oh no, we're always at a disadvantage.
It's okay.
I can do the intro this time.
You could do it if you want to, but I was going to do it.
Please do it. Unless... God, I said that. I didn't mean it. Please do it.
Okay. And we're back. Welcome to Taz Talk, the show where we talk about the Adventure Zone podcast. Today we're going to talk about episode 2 of the commitment arc. And I wanted to say something last time, but I forgot to.
Ooh, what was it?
It was, I hope it's okay that we're doing this. If we were to somehow come to the attention of any of the McElroys, literally all they would have to do is send us an email and just be like, please don't, and we will immediately stop.
Definitely. I mean,
but
if it meant that we would get noticed by the McElroys, if that's what it takes, I mean, I'm just jokes.
I don't think they would give a shit, but, you know, just in case.
Actually, speaking of which, I don't know... According to this week's Jumbotron, if you invoke or introduce Taco, Magnus, and Merle as a guest, then you have to pay the McElroys $50,000 a day for their use of their IP. So, I mean, I don't
know. Chelsea, this podcast is going to end up being a lot more expensive than I was anticipating. I love Remy a lot.
You do? Okay, let's just dive right on into the characters.
He's
let's
such check a in
on our babies.
Dork.
So
I bet he's been Naruto for Halloween like multiple times.
He's so into running, I'm sure that he like did the Naruto run for a solid 6 months in middle school.
He still got the headband in his closet.
He probably brought it with him to the iceberg.
Oh my god,
because he couldn't
I love him.
Be without it. I love him too.
I didn't think he was going to be my favorite, but he kind of is, actually.
I thought he was going to be my favorite. I kind of feel like they're all my favorite. But before we move on, I just want to share a thing that I specifically wrote about Remy. Being, Remy would use his heat vision to heat up chimichangas. Like,
oh my god.
as soon as he said he wanted heat powers, I'm like, what? Is this boy gonna do with heat vision? And the first thing that came to my mind was he's gonna heat up some chimichangas.
I really liked how both he and Nadia kind of talked up like the powers that they wanted and then were disappointed about it. Even though, I mean, Travis and Griffin chose those powers for their characters, but then the way the scene played out, there was kind of this interesting moment where Remy was like, okay, I guess I'm better at jumping now. And Nadia was like, okay, I wanted to be super smart, but I guess I have shield hands, brick hands, you know?
Yeah. I
thought that was really interesting.
I thought so too. I wrote that down as well. I thought that, you know, of course, we went into this knowing the kind of powers that they were going to get. But I agreed that they consciously made these character decisions to kind of throw a wrench in what the characters had planned. And I think that it's cool. They made for themselves, like, character development, you know?
Yeah, I thought that was good role play.
Yeah. But that... I liked that for two of the three characters, it seemed like their characters were already a part of them. You know, they were just, like, enhanced versions of things that they already kind of had going for them. And then at first I was like, well, Irene didn't really have a Cardala anything kind of going on, you know? Like, she seems pretty meek in contrast to Cardala. But then I realized there is a part in this episode where they ask Irene, hey, Irene, are you doing okay? And she just kind of sassily responds back, did something happen in the past 5 minutes that would make this any better? And I was just kind of taken aback, because this whole time...
Yeah, that was funny.
This whole time, like, we've been hearing Irene be just very gentle and almost meek, but she snapped back, and I was like, ooh, Cardala, peeking out a little bit.
Yeah, it was sort of, I interpreted that as Justin breaking character, but then you can interpret that as part of Irene's character, you know what I mean?
Totally, I'm into it.
Like, they their own personalities sneak into their characters.
Yes, they do. And I really appreciate that also. Justin is super into Irene. He's super into Cardala. I appreciated that Travis was trying to find his character voice. And I could hear him trying really hard in the episode, but I will admit, I was kind of brought back into my early days of Taz, where I couldn't tell anyone apart. Because I wasn't used to Travis doing a character voice. And so I thought I couldn't tell for a second who it was. But I, you know, if he keeps doing it, I'm sure I'll, you know, we'll get more familiar with it. I think I'm just used to hearing Magnus, and Magnus is just a different kind of Travis. But now we're in this arc where Remy is a different kind of Griffin.
And it's Remy is Griffin.
Remy
Let's
is
Let's be
Griffin.
Honest. Remy is Griffin, but he can jump really high. Like, honestly, I think Griffin has decided, I have been playing all of these NPCs and doing all these voices for 3 years. I'm just going to flat out play myself.
Yes, yes.
For a little bit. Even just, like, the stuff Remy says, it's just, like, very, like, Griffin-esque dialogue. You know what I mean?
It super is. And I'm going to go a little bit off Taz for just a second here. But do you listen at all to My Brother and Me?
Nope, I tried to listen to 2 episodes, and both times I was like, I don't know about that.
It's pretty different. If you're used to Taz, it's pretty different, and it's just full goofs all the time.
Sure.
But that's kind of what Remy is. Remy is sort of the embodiment of the goofs that are in Mabim Bam, which I adore. He is just a goofball, and I love it, because he's essentially
He's very goofy. That's just like, yeah, just Griffin, the way he talks. I forget, there was one line where I think Martine was like, well, I'm the only one with a gun in here. And then Remy's like, what, are you going to shoot everybody, you ding-dong?
You're going to shoot everybody, you ding-dong?
And I'm like, oh my God, he's just Griffin.
He's just Griffin. I see, I thought that was out of character, but I realized, no, that's just Remy. That's just Remy. Speaking of which, you know, I thought that whole scene, that exchange was kind of weird, only because, and this kind of harks back to the first episode too, where, like, immediately when the cadets were all put into a challenge, it became very competitive, and now we're in the situation where, you know, there's something of an emergency happening, and the first response is, let's bring in guns. So I'm still trying to get used to what this organization is. I think I'm just kind of used to the Bureau of Balance being a little bit more like peaceful and hands off and kind of like, let's talk about things and use magic.
Is that true? Because I was just listening to episode 3, I think, of Taz Balance, where Killian gets introduced and she meets the boys and is like, oh, I didn't want to have to kill anyone today, but damn. Here you are. I mean, like, I think they're pretty violent when they need to be.
Maybe
the whole, you know, they were, like, gonna kill Lucas if they had to.
Maybe that's true, actually. Maybe that's just, like, their arc. That's how they get introduced to new environments and new games of D&D, is that their first instinct is violence. And then you get used to them, and you're like, oh, okay. No, I just thought it was interesting. Like, I thought they're all on this base, you know, to cooperate, but there's a lot of, like, aggression going on.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I actually was, I kind of couldn't tell what was going on during that scene. I don't know if I just wasn't paying close enough attention. It was just, like, people getting dragged around. I think there's a lot of employees whose names I haven't necessarily connected with positions.
Yes. Yes, I would agree. I appreciate that they take the time to explain who they are, and I think I know at least who the heads of each of our main characters' divisions are. So I think Potts is
oh, really? Really, Chelsea?
Well, I know Grace is the head of HR.
That sounds right to me.
Yeah, and then there's a Jim. Isn't there a Jim? Okay.
There's an Irish guy.
Yes, there is an Irish guy. And then there's Potts. And Potts
is he the Minnesotan?
I can't tell.
The guy with the Fargo voice?
Maybe. But I think he's the periodic table. Ooh, there's just a lot of NPCs and there's not a lot of time.
Do you think that Martine was flirting with Nadia after that whole weird guy. Did you notice that too?
I totally see, and that's when the tension got a little sexual, which all right. And just a whole lot of mixed signals, I guess. Like, I guess you could argue that, well, the guns were there because they didn't know if Cardala was gonna, you know, be violent. But at the same time, it's like they weren't threatening Cardala. They were using their guns to be superior to the other people in the room. And like, and oh crap, I don't remember who the NPC is, but whichever one of them was like,
yeah,
well,
it was weird.
This many directors are saying to stand down, so you have to stand down. And I was like, why did it even have to take that many of them? Like, if they're all directors, wouldn't they all kind of...
You're right. I didn't think about that before. And it might just be, you know, like, it's a little rough around the edges, but it's funny to think about the Do-Good Fellowship being, like, inherently flawed and having a lot of internal strife, despite what their mission is supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of any real organization.
Yeah, and I think it might have been said earlier, maybe in the prequel episode when they were all building these things. I think the... Mm-hmm. I don't remember if the Do-Good Fellowship has actually been around since the time of Benjamin Franklin, or if they're just taking the concepts that he founded and bringing it to the modern day. Like, I can't tell how old this organization is, but because this is maybe their first crop of three heroes that didn't die, apparently, they seem
Space
almost...
Space Cadet, whoever that is.
Yeah! Okay, wait, hold on.
I like that name. It's very mysterious.
I do, too. Well, hold on. I'll get to that.
And a little bit, not threatening is not the word. There's something a little unsettling about it.
Yes. Okay, screw it. We're just going to dive right on in. So Space Cadet. Space Cadet. It took me a couple of listens to realize that Space Cadet is the person that they're looking for. So, like, we first hear about Space Cadet when they're talking about the golems. And it sounds like, and I don't remember who was talking.
That's right.
I'm going to say it's Potts. Potts started to, like, talk about what the golems were and what Space Cadet had to do with them, but then he got interrupted because it sounded like someone got kind of, you know, not defensive, but sensitive to the situation and didn't want to talk about it. Yeah. Which made me think, and see, now I have to go back and listen. I'm so sorry. Because I think that the person who interrupted the other person was the tech director. Because Mary's whole, like, her powers are that she's the Wi-Fi. She controls the robots and things. So it makes sense that she would be in the tech sector.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah,
I'm honestly not too concerned about keeping the NPCs straight in my head, since we're going to only have them for two more episodes,
that's
maybe.
That's true. But it makes it more poignant if there was, like, you know, a hint of...
That's true. It's really... So, I kind of feel like if there's only two more episodes left, I'm kind of into the Nadia Martine thing, but that's definitely not going to go anywhere. Mm. And, like, I mean, probably for the best, honestly, because if it was weird for Justin and Griffin to go on fake fantasy dates with each other, imagine Travis and his dad going on fake fantasy dates with each other. I remember specifically there was this one time where... I forget. It was in, I think it was Murder on Rockport Limited, and somehow someone made a joke about, I think, like, Merle and Magnus humping because someone misheard someone else.
Yes.
And then I think Clint was like, fan artists, and then Griffin was like, no, do not draw that. Burn your computer. Put it down in the garbage disposal. Like, Clint obviously just thought it was a fun joke and didn't care, and Griffin was like, God, please.
Yeah. I think just what each of them bring to the table in terms of humor, and this kind of goes back to the thing about Mabimbam is a very specific kind of goofs in which it is all sorts of goofs, but Clint's humor is such like a 90 degrees of what their usual McElroy goof is. He makes it a little bit more inappropriate.
It's so funny. He loves, like, gross humor. I started re-listening to Balance again, and he just, like... He, like, all, like, the splooge jokes and anything about, like, anything that's, like, farts and stuff. It's so funny to hear him laughing at that kind of stuff.
Right? He's
adorable. What an old man.
He's a rowdy boy. He's a rowdy old boy. which is just so funny because he's the dad of these three boys, but he is the rowdiest boy, and that's just it tickles me.
That's kind of how I feel too. Yeah, speaking of how he's the rowdiest boy, how the fuck do you feel about 1970s Jesus theme park? Because I kind of love it.
I kind of love it too. I'm so, not gonna lie, I'm so excited for the fan art after this week. Like, I want someone to do a mini comic of the three of them talking about their favorite movies, and Nadia, like, visibly kind of ignoring them, being like, I can't talk,
uh-huh.
But they're clearly talking through their mask and their goggles, and I desperately want someone to draw the lady holding the head, riding the horse, like...
The unicorn.
Unicorn. God, it was a unicorn. There's unicorns in the Bible.
That doesn't surprise me.
No, I'm very excited for, and that's the thing, like this whole arc, it's just really fun to meet new characters and to get into a new world, and I like hearing this family be really creative and play a game together. I think it's really fun, and it's just like they each bring such a positive energy. I don't know, I adore them, and you know how last episode, if you listeners listen to the first episode, if not, you probably should, but in our previous episode, we had a discussion about would the McElroys, like, who is gonna have the most issues, you know, not being too attached to the arc and everything, and I don't remember what I said, but I know that after, like, this week, I'm going to change my answer, and I'm going to say I am going to have issues moving on from these characters, just because they are so fun, and they already are, like, bonding together.
Mm-hmm.
Nadia's powers made her talk more than 10 words and say more words than just science. Like, she had so much character development in just this one episode. Like,
they all are very fun.
They're so and much the fun.
The relationships building between them are really funny. I kind of like I could see a strange kind of friendship forming between Remy and Cardala, which I think would be really adorable.
Yes, I need more. I need more Remy and Cardala. Like, someone get her a sandwich. Can someone meet her? Like, actually, you know, that's the thing. Like, was it ever established that Irene is vegetarian or something? Like, why is Cardala so starved for meat?
No, I think it's just a funny, like, big warrior god joke. Although I did see someone on Tumblr posted about that headcanon.
Yeah.
Like, she was a vegetarian, and that's why Cardala, like, needs the meats immediately.
Needs the meats.
Hang on, I need to get a glass of water. Don't stop recording. I'll just be back in a second.
Don't stop recording. Before Rachel gets back, I do want to say, though, that, like, I love Cardala. I have that in multiple different bullet points my list. Hold on, I'm talking about how much I love Cardala.
You were talking without me?
you can cut that out if you want, but I think it's excellent entertainment.
Going, by all means. I almost tripped over my Ethernet cable and died on the way back. It was a bad time.
Please don't spill coffee in every orifice and crevice of your computer. It's not recommended. No, I was just telling the listeners that I wrote in three different places that I love Cardala. She's basically like Thor, essentially, but like funnier, and I love her. So
yeah, I think that's kind of what Justin was going for.
Yeah.
This is a tangent, but I was just looking at my notes, and I loved when Nadia called Remy Jump Boy.
Yes!
So cute. I love Remy, god damn it.
I love Remy, too. And I love Irene. Even if she's not Cardala, I love Irene. She loves Royal Tenenbaums, and I'm like, man, she's so cool.
Oh, that was so funny. They totally just busted out their own favorite movies.
They did.
Like, Travis and Justin. I don't know about Griffin. Is Flubber really his favorite movie? Like, I don't know. Anything's possible.
You know, I kind of wouldn't be surprised if it was at least in his top 10. Like, if he just saw Flubber and Robin Williams and was like, man, I want to jump like that.
You know, one thing that I thought was really funny while listening to this episode is, like, comparing Nadia to Magnus. Because already she kind of, like, I don't know, there was one part where they were getting on the platforms to get flesh cocooned.
Mm-hmm.
And then Travis was like, Nadia's already up there. She's like already doing it.
Nadia rushes in.
Nadia rushes in and then she punched Martine. She's got a lot of Magnus traits in some funny ways. I mean, like, they're obviously really different in other ways, but.
Yeah. Well, and see, Magnus would rush into things kind of jubilantly or like courageously.
Yeah, it's different. Wasn't thinking. Nadia is thinking. Calculating. Faster than everyone. Yeah.
Nadia is calculating so fast and choosing for herself, yep, this is what I'm gonna do.
Yeah. Other thing that I noticed about Travis playing Nadia that I thought was interesting is that I caught him referring to Nadia in the third person a lot. Nadia's shaking. What?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he would, like, describe what Nadia's doing. Like, Nadia does this, or Nadia is like this, not like I like this. And I mean, it's hard, it's just based on my impression from Balance Arc, but I felt like he would use first person pronouns a lot more playing Magnus. And I wonder if it's because at that point they were, you know, they started off just dicking around, and then, like, after, you know, 2 or 3 years, they had played those characters so long that they felt really comfortable being them.
Yeah.
Or if it's more like Magnus felt more similar, or Travis felt more similar to Magnus than he does to Nadia.
That's a really interesting point. I was actually...
And I remember...
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I think I feel like Taco... Justin would frequently say Taco this or something. I don't... But, I mean, not all the time. I don't know. I'm kind of basing this on just, like, fuzzy memory. I can't, like, bring up specific instances necessarily.
No,
but.
I think you have a point. Because I was actually kind of thinking about this, too. I think that it feels like the boys this time around are really focusing on the narrative. Like, they're really trying to tell a story. And in that, they're all, like, saying, well, my character does this instead of, well, I do that. I know that I do that is, like, one of our favorite phrases of all time. but I think their focus this time around is, well, they do that, you know?
Yeah.
Which I appreciate. And I actually was kind of thinking about that and comparing it to... Rachel is a DM for our D&D campaign that we have with our friends, our very, very rowdy boyfriends.
Oh, my God.
But, I mean, I can tell you that at least two of us or three of us in our party of five people, we try to say, well, my character does this, because we're trying to build a narrative. And I think that it really helps when you're playing a tabletop game and you're trying to get into your character or tell a story. Like, it helps if you use character voices. I appreciate it when folks do that a lot, or at least if they change the way they talk to really say, like, well, this is my character, you know?
Yeah.
But I also appreciate when they say, my character is reacting to something that's going on, or my character, you know, is listening, but their body language is doing this. I appreciate that kind of stuff. And I also appreciate when they, you know, describe their characters taking actions like that, just because it brings me more into the story.
I think it does the opposite for me.
Really?
I feel like, I don't know. I felt distracted by it. Like when he says Nadia is doing this, it's like, I know, you can just say I'm doing this and like it'll be less syllables and I know it's Nadia because you are playing Nadia.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm not sure. I know for me as a player, you know, I'm playing the game with my coworkers. I do a character voice. I love my character a lot.
I wish really that you guys would record your sessions, because that just sounds like so much fun.
It's a really, really fun game. It's a good group. But I definitely, most of the time I'll say I do this, but I catch myself saying Amara does this or Amara is like this sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to figure out what the difference is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it might be something like, I'm not sure. There might be a couple of factors that determine what pronouns I use. One might be like when I feel more distance from what I'm describing as Amara's behavior, then I say Amara does this. But I think more frequently it's like, if I'm in the action, I'll just say like, oh, I draw my shield, blah, blah, blah. But if I'm saying like, if I'm kind of less like zoomed out and I'm more describing a general pattern of behavior for my character or like her mindset or personality, rather than like describing in the moment what she's doing, I'll just refer to her in the third person instead of first person.
Yeah, I think
it might be the difference. I'm not sure.
I think no, that brings up a pretty good point. It's maybe Travis using the third person more is really indicative of, you know, he's really, and he said this a couple times on air, he's trying to really respect Nadia as a character, and he wants to portray her as a woman of character, or a woman of color. Like, he wants to do a really good job. So I think that him using third person, it's kind of like showing respect. Like, he's taking...
I kind of got that sense, too.
Yeah.
That might be, yeah, something like that.
I kind of adore it, like, not gonna lie. Like, and that's the kind of, that's kind of how I approach my character when I play D&D, too. Like, I kind of wrote my character, Rhododendra, like, kind of like my child, sort of. Like, like she's my baby girl, and I want to make sure that she has the best adventure ever. So, you know.
That's adorable.
Yeah. And that might just be, like, my kind of thing. I think... You using third person to kind of dissociate or like to distance yourself from what your character is doing, that's a pretty that's a pretty significant way to play D&D also. It's cool as long as you're playing D&D. Like, it's just a really interesting style. Like, is everyone doing third person? Because I feel like Griffin, he kind of says like, well, Remy's gonna do this a lot
of the times. I think they are. I mean, it's different for Griffin because we don't have a lot of experience with him being a player.
Oh, that's true.
But I think I don't know. I noticed it most with Travis, and it was specifically in scenes where he's like describing Nadia's actions right in the moment. But it might have been, I don't know. I didn't tally up all the instances of different pronoun uses and try to figure it out. But I kind of feel like they are doing it more. And I think it's probably a combination of all of those factors. Like, they feel more dissociated from these characters for a number of reasons. They're new, so they're still getting used to them. There is some element of like trying to be respectful and be careful while playing these characters that I feel is factoring into this.
Yeah, no, there definitely is.
Anyway, that's just something I noticed and I thought was interesting.
You know, something I kind of noticed too is that, and I realize I kind of tend to comment a lot on Irene and how kind of passive she is, but for every instance that Nadia rushes in or that Remy like jumps on something, Justin doesn't really say, well, Irene's gonna do this, you know? It's usually something happens and then we have to ask Irene, how are you? Or
The part when she said, I'm really scared or whatever. Oh my god, that was so adorable,
right? And I just thought, oh, I love her. I have to protect this precious bean. But that's another thing too, is that we aren't hearing Justin say, well, I do this, or Irene does this, because Irene doesn't really take action a whole lot. Like, she's really in the background, and she lets her compatriots move forward. So maybe that'll change now that Cardala is moving up and abound. Like, Cardala definitely takes action. Like, she...
yeah.
they drew a gun on her, and that was a bad idea, and she wanted to punish them.
Yeah, Justin, I definitely remember Justin saying the name Cardala a lot.
Yes.
Especially during, like, the second half of the episode.
Yes.
Oh, that brings up something that I wanted to talk about, is that when, in the setup episode, when Justin was talking about Cardala and the idea he had for that character dynamic, it did seem more like it was going to be, Irene was going to turn into Cardala, and they were going to be walking around with her, and she was going to be like, cars, what are those? Like, metal horses, or I forget, what does Magnus say in that one episode? And... Crystal Kingdom, metal dragons when they're looking through the cosmoscope. But yeah, I thought it was going to be more like that, but
yeah,
Cardala said that I've been watching the world through Irene's eyes for like years and years.
Yeah.
She has to know like what science is and all of the, like what technology is. She knew what the guns were. So I don't know if I buy that she thinks... Well, I don't know. I don't know if I buy that she thinks Nadia is a demon. And I think, I think that might be, like, just kind of an inconsistency. Like, maybe Justin wanted to play it that way, but then he said, I've been watching everything through Irene's eyes this whole time, and now it doesn't make sense.
Okay, well, dang it. Now that you brought that up, that's a pretty good point.
But at this point, you could spin it that, like, she, even if she understands what science and technology is, we don't think Nadia is a demon because we don't think demons exist. But if a literal goddess like appears, you know, it's already, you know, you didn't know I existed. You don't know demons exist either. And I found one, you know, it could be something like that.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking about this now and I'm thinking like, well, what if we don't really know? So Cardala was aware that she was trapped inside someone else, but was Irene ever aware that she had something inside of her? It doesn't really seem so, right?
It doesn't seem like it, yeah.
But
do you think Irene is watching everything right now through Cardala's
eyes?
I
desperately hope so. I desperately hope that we get like a scene of Irene coming back and being like, that was so cool.
Yes, don't you? Yeah. Oh my God, that's adorable.
I need to know how she's reacting. Yes.
I want her to have a Lucretian transformation.
Yes. I want her to have character development. Like, I want... If we're gonna give Justin two characters, I want both of them to be fully formed, well developed.
How come you have two characters?
Like, I desperately want a scene where Irene is reacting to Cardala. But the other thing too is, I was thinking maybe Cardala thought of Nadia as a demon just because maybe to Irene in some form she's kind of intimidated by Nadia. But then at the same time, like, their interactions. Irene isn't really one to be pushed around by Nadia, so I guess that doesn't, that dog won't hunt. It doesn't really work out.
Yeah. What's also funny is that, I mean, like basically the whole thing with Cardala has already gone much different than I expected, because like I said, like, I thought it was going to be like that sort of person from the past comes to the future and doesn't understand technology gimmick, which I like, and I thought that would have been really fun. But like, already once Justin said that, it was like, well, if she's been watching Irene use telephones for like 24 years, she knows how to use a telephone.
Yeah.
And she knows how to drive, like, maybe she knows how to drive a car, she knows how to use a computer. Like, it's, if that's true, unless it's like intermittently she's been watching, or there's just like, she hasn't been living, like, vicariously living Irene's life. I don't know. I guess, like, the relationship is not exactly clear.
Yeah.
But then, you know, he said that, like, oh, yeah, I'm... In the setup episode, he was talking about how he's going to think Nadia is a demon, which he carried through on. And then immediately he's like, oh, I like this demon. You know, it's like, there's another unlikely friendship springing up between these two characters.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. I see. I like that. I'm okay with the inconsistency because it means that we get to keep that, and I like it.
Well, yeah, that one's less as like, that's less of an inconsistency and less of a like, this plan, like, he's changing plans, but it's funny and I like it.
Yeah, that's interesting though. I think that I really like Cardala as being at least somewhat aware of our world, just because.
Me too.
Yeah. If it really was like, what are cars? Then it really would be Thor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, well, it makes her more powerful if she's a badass thunder goddess and she already like understands modern technology and doesn't have like the weakness of having to catch up, you know?
Yeah. Or maybe she doesn't like quite understand, but she at least knows, well, that's not gonna hurt me. Like, that's not magic. It's just, it's a thing. I don't know what it is, but it's a thing.
Yeah, it's not clear.
Yeah, well, she wasn't freaking out being in the shuttle to the Jesus land.
That's true.
She was very...
And, like, yeah.
Yeah, she wasn't, like, amazed
by
the
robots. What was it called? Like, Hallelu Land?
Hallelu Land is the best name. Oh, Lord. My God. Well, like, literally, though.
God damn it.
I really hope that we get to see Robot Jesus.
I want it really bad. I think they said specifically Robot Jesus spiders, so Clint, you better deliver.
Because it's all the things that scare Travis.
Oh, man.
I'm so excited. I want more of this arc, and I'm going to be bummed. I'm bummed anytime there's an ending to Taz, which has been a grand one time. So I'm gonna be bummed when we get to the end of this one too, just because I really like these characters.
I do like these characters a lot, but I think for me, out of all the ideas that were pitched, and I mean, like, I'm having a lot of fun with this arc, I'm enjoying it more than I expected to, but out of all the ideas that were pitched, like, I think superheroes I was the least interested in. I'm much more interested in like kind of gumshoe detective stuff and space opera stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Both of those I don't know, like, I can't imagine both of those translating well to a tabletop a game. Like,
even though the you can, but I mean, like, I couldn't have imagined superhero stuff translating into a tabletop.
I had a lot either. More easier time with superheroes.
Oh, interesting.
And and there was a persona, like a night school detective, something, whatever Griffin's next idea was. I forget.
Oh yeah, I thought when he did the high school AU, live show, that was kind of his persona.
Kind camp, of,
like,
right?
Thing. But maybe that was just, like, a little bit.
A little bit. I think what he was alluding to was kind of like a Pokemon thing, where either you're collecting monsters or you have, a monster, and that's what you use to fight. I hope.
I want to do a Pokemon D&D campaign so bad.
I desperately
the
do,
monster
too.
Manual is just full of friends, Chelsea. I think my favorite, one of my favorite parts in the episode was, I forget. It was, like, I think when, right at the end of the skin cocoon scene, the golem scene, mm-hmm. and Nadia was trying to basically absorb the skinthetics into her body,
mm-hmm.
and Travis goes, I'd like to roll Will. And Clint says, okay.
I would like to roll Will.
Okay.
With this kind of, like, nervous, confused laugh in his voice, and he sounded exactly like Griffin DMing. It
yes!
was so adorable.
Yes!
It was, like, every time... Like, every time someone suggests something and, like, Griffin was kind of like, I'm surprised, but I'm into it. Let's see where this goes. It was just like, oh, man. It was really heartwarming to hear.
I love it. I really do adore it.
Yeah,
you know,
great.
This is a general question, mostly because I haven't really played a whole lot of D&D. I remember when I was listening to The 11th Hour that Griffin would talk about how people were giving him crap about the campaign being on rails.
Yeah.
This session is totally on rails. I assume it's because it's short and it needs to be self-contained.
Yeah.
Is that a bad thing or rails not
No,
good?
It's not a bad thing. Like, I mean, even the way that I'm running both the campaigns that I'm DMing, like, I think it's too disorganized and I think there's a lot of, like, it's hard to try to... And maybe, I mean, obviously, I'm like super a novice, so it might be a lack of skill and experience on my part, but it definitely feels like it's hard to guide the characters where you want them to go and to leave them like the breadcrumbs to get where they're supposed to go. And so if you give them a big map and say, okay, you can go to any of these places, they like, A, will just ignore most of them, and B, will like, it's not clear if things are too open-ended, it's not clear where you're supposed to go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I think with the, I wish I'd seen the map for 11th Hour because I remember Griffin drew a map and they said that they were going to post it somewhere, but
yeah.
I never saw if it got posted and where. And I'm really curious about what, like how many like visitable locations were on the map and how much stuff that they skipped. And yeah, like, I mean, the thing is, in a fantasy setting, you can have these sort of video game-esque, really highly simplified towns where there's, like, there's a shop and there's, like, a, you know, like, you start off in Kokiri Village and there's, like, five houses you can go into, maybe six, and they're all really simple. But, I mean, in a game that's set in modern times, unless they're out in the boonies somewhere in a tiny town, like, the explorable area would be ostensibly... the city that they're in, or maybe the burg, like maybe that wouldn't be like out of the question, but
yeah,
I know the burg, but it's like, what, so what, they wander around an office building talking to their coworkers? I mean, like, that doesn't make sense necessarily.
Yeah.
It's like, I think after DMing myself, I kind of want to do more of like, okay, you guys go here, because especially like the those Castles and Crusaders booklets, they're fun because they have a lot of NPCs, like, all specced out, and that is a really good resource. But there's a whole lot of, like, okay, so in order for your characters to find this dungeon, they have to do, they have to succeed on, like, a DC 15 survival check, and if they have to do, that they do, then it's, like, a 3-day journey there, and then here's the table you roll monsters from, and it's, like, it sucks. I hate it. Like,
that's too regimented.
Something about, it's like very, I don't know, something about it, it doesn't flow well with like plan. I don't know. I mean, that feels like, I guess that's sort of how it would be in a video game. Like, I'm not sure what that mechanic is trying to capture.
Mm.
And it doesn't, it feels like in play, and again, maybe I'm not doing a good job, but it feels super clunky. And so I've already decided next time, like, I fuck all that. It's just going to be, okay, here's all the locations you guys can go to. Where do you want to go? And then they can choose, and then they're there, you know? Like,
yeah. Well, that's kind of how we're playing our campaign, is you gave us a map, and we chose to go to the puppy store, and then we were there.
I gave you guys the town map, but there's like a whole, there's all these places that you're supposed to be able to discover in the field, basically. And I don't have a good way for you guys to discover them other than I'm making it up. I'm deciding, like, this system that's in place in these booklets sucks, and I'm just going to come up with another way to get you guys where I want you to be, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what Griffin ended up doing. He ended up writing
in a big way.
So, I mean, and look where that got him. So, you do you. And we will happily do your campaign.
So, that we went on a bunch of tangents about our own game during this podcast recording. So, if the dialogue sounds chopped up, I'm really sorry. But we are done talking about this episode the Adventure Zone.
We got so inspired by the Adventure Zone that we started our own campaign. Like, that's what these boys do, is they inspire others to do big things. Like this podcast, for example.
Okay. You ready, Chelsea?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Bye, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Oh, shit. I forgot about something we were supposed to do. I forgot to say where you can find us again, but that doesn't matter.
Well, okay, wait a minute. Hold on. Should we record that and then,
yeah,
like,
let's do a special addendum right now.
Okay.
Okay, we forgot an important ending part.
This is, okay, it, like, so, it's super important.
Super important. You can find us at taztalk.tumblr.com if you want to send us an ask, and you can send us an email at taztalkpodcast@gmail.com.
So they can find me on Twitter. I am at Keiko Pin. That's KEIKOPIN cosplay. I'm also on Instagram at Phoenix Down. Phoenix the way like the bird, and down with two N's. God, I need to unify my social media. But I like what I like. So, I mean, there I am.
What can you do?